Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Blazer Banter Podcast. I'm Eric Gunderson, the Trailblazers beat writer for the Columbian. This week we do a wrap-up of free agency with Vice Sports writer and Willamette Week writer Corbin Smith. We talk about LaMarcus Aldridge, everything that happened with him, the moves the Blazers made, the moves they didn't make. We look a little bit at their summer league roster, but it's mostly a recap of all the craziness of free agency, just in case you missed it.
Tough.
Lots of stuff happening.
Yeah, it's been an active week. You know, a lot of things have happened. A lot of lives have changed. A lot of scenarios have changed. I don't know if I'll say tough, because, as you know, I feel that change is the only constant. But I will say that it is the end of an era. I don't know. Yeah, tough. Sure, why not?
Tough, it was just, you know, whatever. It was a joke. I don't know. I was just trying to find some kind of word to describe how crazy it has been. But
yes, totally nuts. It's been completely nuts. Like, there were more than $1 billion in signings on the first day. Some people are getting contracts that like make sense if you knew like what the contracts were going to be like coming into the season, but are still pretty jarring. Particularly like Aminu, the Blazers signed Aminu, of course, for however much money. And if you run it through the calculator, it becomes really quickly apparent that it's actually a pretty good signing when you adjust it to the new salary paradigm that's coming up. But, you know, you look at it and you go, really, offering Aminu that much money? So, but, yeah. I think it's definitely, like, there's a paradigm shift in the amount of money people are getting paid in the league, and you know, and obviously there's been an enormous paradigm shift for the Blazers, who are terrible now.
I mean, yeah, it's not funny. We know. I'm sorry for all of the Blazers.
It's a little funny.
It is kind of funny.
Okay. In the way everything's funny.
It's sports. It's all funny.
Yeah, you guys know this is fake, right?
Yeah, this is all. You know, it's just. I mean, come on, FIFA, you know?
Yeah. Pro wrestling. Like, you guys know pro wrestling's not real, right?
No.
Every sport is eventually going to be revealed to be pro wrestling. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, pro wrestling's real.
I mean, yeah, the Blazers, they're not very good anymore. And, yeah, no, it was a shift in how much players get paid. That Aminu signing is great. I think the signings that Neil Olshey has made, that he made for this rebuilding team are pretty good.
Who's up?
Because they're all value signings, in my opinion. They're not like he went to Value Village and got some really good finds, and that's what he came home with, you know?
I think Ed Davis is probably not a good NBA player. Better than that, yeah.
Ed Davis can catch dunks. And can set a pick and jump to the basket. And the Blazers, granted, they don't have anything else anymore, so it's not great. But he can do that, and the Blazers didn't really have anybody who can do that. Now they have two guys, Plumlee and Davis.
Plums, you know what? That was a good trade. I'll give Olshey that. As we're crawling out of this nightmare hellscape, Plumlee's a good NBA player. Defends, dives, does all that crap. But
got him for Steve Blake and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who can't shoot yet.
Yeah. If the Blazers picked Jefferson, and the team was still together, I think I maybe would have been a little annoyed by it. Because Jefferson is basically, like, what they've needed for years and years and years. But now that that thing doesn't exist anymore, I think Plumlee is a perfectly tenable solution at center for quite a while.
Yeah. Speaking of centers, I just saw, I don't know if it's a typo or what, but Myers Leonard is on the Blazers Summer League roster, which seems weird.
Just trying to develop, man. I think they're mostly going to run him at point. Do the Giannis thing.
Point Myers.
Yeah, Point Myers, yeah.
Yeah.
Get him running around on some curls. I don't know. Yeah, perfectly risible. I don't, you know, I think. If he's looking for some development play.
You know, the Blazers, yeah, I'm really glad that, I mean, at least for the team being true to a rebuilding team, aren't going to go out and sign vets like Rasul Butler or Gerald Green, although Gerald Green would be hilariously entertaining from a just watching standpoint. Since we, you know, we're watching the team all the time. There are, you know. But
there's going to mean to be – there's going to be one, too. To yank yourself out of the sink mud. They're going to be so bad.
They might have to change their name to the Portland Trail Ben Simmonses.
Yeah. That's the
hope. That is what they are lighting Ben Simmons candles in the Blazers front office right now.
You and I have both seen Ben Simmons play in person. We covered the Hoop Summit, which he played in. Yeah, that dude's amazing.
Right?
It's incredible. It's insane. Like, he's so amazing that you're kind of like, he can't really be good. Like, he's so amazing that you almost think that your mind's playing a trick on you when you watch him, and that in actuality, he's very bad.
No, I mean, I like Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
I mean, if they could get Ben Simmons, that's not going to happen. But
they're not going to be that bad, which is a shame. Which is a shame. Look, I've always wanted to actively root for the Blazers to lose. So.
Right.
Personally. Anybody who knows me will tell you.
Yeah. On this very podcast, we have you know, gone behind the curtain of your rooting interest for the Blazers.
Yeah.
Usually relating to ticket prices.
Oh, yeah. Also, yeah, I like a cheap ticket or a championship. Anything in between, I'm not a fan. Anything in between, all right.
And well, the Blazers, here's the they have a lot of young talent, and they are probably not going to be bad enough to tank because they have enough guys that...
Yeah, Lillard's a good player. Plumlee's a good player. You're just, you know, they're not built to be genuinely, horrifyingly awful.
No. I feel like there's a situation here, though, that reminds me a little bit of the Phoenix Suns 2 years ago when they stripped everything down to, like, just prospects and you know, just young guys, and then... You know, maybe they get lucky and they're in the playoff race for, like, a couple of months.
It seems so unlikely, though.
But I'm talking about, like, for, like, a couple of months, and then they just eventually tank, you know, and fall out of it. Like, they are, like, I mean, knock on wood, I hope it doesn't happen, but they are one Lillard injury away from actually seriously being in Ben Simmons' territory, though.
Yeah.
Like, if Lillard got hurt, this team is that bad, I think. I mean,
who's the backup point right now?
CJ's the backup point guard, so you have to count on him to not only run your offense, but take all of your shots in a scenario where Lillard wasn't there.
Yeah, that sounds awful. Man, hopefully that doesn't happen.
They don't have anybody you can post up, really, unless, you know, unless Myers is guarded by a shooting guard. I don't know about Plumlee, his post-up game at all.
No. He's... Plumlee works in pretty concrete angles, so to speak.
I was just saw him as, like, you know, just kind of like a white DeAndre Jordan type offensive player.
Yeah, that's not untrue. Shoots foul shots better. I think maybe isn't quite as active, you know, at catching lobs or stuff like that.
Right.
But yeah, like shave some vertical off of him. But yeah, you know, he dunks, sets a pick. I feel like in my description I'm shading. Like, I think that you know, pick and roll is pretty much at the center of what the NBA is all about now, and I think that a player like DeAndre or I think Tyson Chandler has probably been the most ideal of all these players, who just plays defense and is incredible at performing on a pick and roll. You know, I think that's an extremely valuable piece now, and Plumlee is a slightly worse version of that.
Right. Chandler. Another thing about Chandler is he made his free throws too, like you're saying about Plumlee.
Yes. Yes. That is also the case with Tyson Chandler. So. Tyson Chandler was really good that year the Mavericks won the title. He was the second best player in a title team. Think about that. Really sit with that.
Yeah, it's hard for people to remember. I mean, hey, but Tyson, you know, that's why Tyson, you know, the Phoenix got Tyson, and they almost got LaMarcus, which I'm not.
Can we talk
really,
about?
I'm not
can we
even,
talk about that real quick?
Yeah, can we? Yeah, we have to. We have to, because I'm not even sure. Come on.
I've written about LaMarcus for Vice today.
Yeah,
it's entirely about his Blazers career. I actually think it's pretty good. I wouldn't normally say something I wrote was good, but I actually think that this is pretty good. And one of the things that I pinned down on in the piece is that Aldridge was in Portland a kind of a fussy player. He didn't like to play center. He didn't take threes. Like, he was actively impeding on his ability to play efficiently. Is that fairish?
I think so. He always, like, when Thomas Robinson would play minutes alongside LaMarcus, LaMarcus would always say, LaMarcus, I once asked him, you know, who's playing center out of you two? And he just looks at me straight in the eye, like it was like a Saturday practice, so no media was there. And he just goes, "I'm always the four."
Wow.
And I was just like, "All right, sorry, forgot about that fact." And it's just like, it's unbelievable. Like, even in Stotts' first year, the Blazers were better playing Luke Babbitt with LaMarcus at center than they were with, obviously, I mean, obviously with Hickson.
Who is probably the worst NBA player. I realize that this was a bone of contention.
Who's going to be this year's Hickson? Like, the guy who's getting stats for the Blazers that fans are just going to absolutely love, and then once free agency hits and the Blazers don't keep him, people are going to be a little mad until the next season when they realize he wasn't very good.
McCollum.
You think so?
Nah, I don't know. Okay. I feel like that was a little too on the nose to bully people. But, yeah, I don't know.
There's going to be... Okay, well, we'll revisit this once they come out with a final
forward. Who's the small forward? Henderson?
Maybe Keith Bogans, who's on the side.
Oh, yeah, Bogans! please. Recipient of a Dr. Jack Defensive Player of the Year vote, Keith Bogans.
Yes. I forgot about that. When did that happen?
That happened in 2011?
Oh, wow.
I think.
Yeah. Well,
it was that year. It was the first year the Bulls were really good.
Oh, okay. Bogans
starting small forward, and Dr. Jack decided that he was Defensive Player of the Year. God bless him.
Love Dr. Jack.
Yeah. Hey, rest in power, buddy.
Yeah. Amen.
But so Aldridge was very fussy on the Blazers. Very very particular about what position he played. Very particular about the shots he took, and when he was choosing between Phoenix and the Spurs, it was hard not to look at the Spurs option and think, there's no way they're not going to let him play. They're not going to make him play center, right?
Right.
Like, there's
he's not going to get the greatest power forward ever to concede that he's playing out of position.
Or they're not going to sacrifice their spacing like that. They're so aggressive about people's roles there. And he hasn't... And Aldridge hasn't been a player that acquiesced 100% to a role ever in Portland. And so when they were coming down to San Antonio and Phoenix, I think it was clear that Phoenix signed Tyson Chandler literally to say, look, buddy, you don't have to play center here. That's fine. To be really accommodating to Aldridge.
Yeah, you don't have to protect the rim. You don't have to guard the biggest guy. You don't always have to be the last, you know, the anchor. All those are great selling points. All those also were not part of Plan A.
So I'm we'll get to that in a second here. So I almost thought it was strange that he picked San Antonio because he really is completely acquiescing himself to a new paradigm, as opposed to Phoenix, where I don't know. Interesting. That's what I'll say. I don't know what's going to happen with it. Like it could end up. Like I guess it'd be weird to say, oh, the Spurs are going to be a disaster, but it could definitely end up being disappointing. And I think that people who maybe didn't watch Aldridge play for years and years and years and are intimately familiar with all of his flaws are like going to, oh my God, the Spurs, they're gonna burn it down. It's gonna be a nightmare. But I don't know if that's necessarily true.
There are a couple things that I think are important here in LaMarcus's reluctance to just, you know, accept a role here in Portland. And why I think he will with the Spurs is one less minutes.
Yeah, that's a thing. I think he definitely went. I think part of the reason he went to San Antonio and Phoenix was another place he was looking at is that they both have reputations for managing minutes and prioritizing player health. And he played a lot of minutes in Portland.
A lot. I mean, I think he was top five, like, probably the last 5 years in minutes per game, you know, whatever he did play.
Remember the Hickson year?
Oh,
Lordy. When they, like, weren't good and they were just playing those four, him and Lillard and Matthews and Batum, they were always playing more than 37 minutes a game.
I remember during that season, LaMarcus was like, it was after some game, I think they had won one, and then after the media scrum had ended, he like said something off the cuff about like, man, with all these minutes I've been playing, and then I had my recorder out, I was an intern for the team at the time, and he like all of a sudden had this look on his face like, don't print that.
And now you've let it out here.
And now I've let it out here. Yeah, LaMarcus was playing a lot of minutes.
For the last 4 years, for the last 4 or 5 years, right. He's played a ton of minutes, entirely too many minutes. Like you could argue that it was what the Blazers needed to succeed, I guess, but they also probably could have developed their young players with some of those minutes, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway.
No, I mean, he, they could have developed young players, but, you know, they're also simultaneously trying to make the playoffs, and then, you know, but because they had to ride Aldridge so hard, and now he can, I'm sure he'll play defense, and he'll play, you know, play better defense, and he'll play center and all that stuff, because he doesn't have to be everything for San Antonio, and I think that's something he's looking forward to doing. I don't think that that's something that he, because if he had to come back here, I mean, let's pretend for a moment that the notion that all these signings were designed to bring LaMarcus back.
Yeah, which is 1,000% ridiculous. But
right, let's pretend that that's
let's pretend the fact that they literally didn't sign any player who played on the team last year,
or that three of the four players that they acquired all play his position. But yeah. but we won't. Let's assume that that's true. He would have had to do even more this year on this hypothetical roster. And if even the hypothetical plan A, which was, you know, put out there, that of signing Greg Monroe, that's like, I feel like that's a regression in situation for Aldridge, right? Is that not true?
Oh, yeah, it's way worse. Yeah, it's awful. Trouble. Yeah, that's like going back to playing for a non-playoff team.
It's like playing with J.J. Hickson. Like, that's what Monroe would have been like, except LaMarcus would have had the ball out of his hands more. Like, that's the scenario that you're having with Greg Monroe on your team next to LaMarcus.
If you look, I get that if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a Blazer fan. And you probably don't watch Greg Monroe play. And you probably had a moment during the whole free agency thing where you were like, oh, man, the Blazers can't get Greg Monroe. Look, dog, I watch a lot of NBA. I've watched Greg Monroe play. He's not good.
Great stats.
Great. Yeah, great baseline stats.
Good finisher on the block.
But all of the, like, all...
Good passer.
Like, an okay passer. All of his production comes from post-ups, which is not an efficient way to get all of your production. And he's bad at defense. I was going to say something a little more aggressive, but let's just, you know, that's not friendly. I'm a friendly guy. I'm not going to throw Greg Monroe under the bus here. He's bad at defense. And, like, if you stick him at center playing defense, you're not going to have a good defense. Now the Bucks are going to do that, and the Bucks already have a good defense.
Right.
The Bucks have a lot of awesome defensive wings, and truth be told, that's probably the best situation for him as a defensive player, so we'll see. I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But
Portland doesn't have Giannis's, you know, on their team, or MCW's, you know, like, guarding the ball every possession.
Yeah, or Chris Middleton's the next defender.
Right.
And, that's just totally...
Bucks play like 12 guys on top of that.
Yeah.
That was never going to work. I mean, that was never, that's just not possible.
Like, they occupy too. Like if Aldridge replaced, if Monroe came in, like, he would absorb all of the post-up possessions pretty much. And so Aldridge wouldn't go to the post anymore. He would just take the jump shots.
Which, I remember during Stotts' first year, Aldridge himself even felt, like, uncomfortable taking so many jumpers that he asked Stotts to get more post-ups. Because like, Stotts' offense, you know, is the, you know, the flow offense, and he was taking all these jumpers in the flow offense, but he was, you know, he wasn't getting any post-ups, and he asked Stotts if they could post him up more, and then they finally started doing it a little bit more. So he would hate that again.
God, that is, yes. So, God, Aldridge, right?
Right.
That was frustrating.
Yeah, that was. Robin Lopez going to New York. I like that signing for the Knicks.
Yeah, Robin's a great player. I think in the same way that maybe people who didn't watch the Blazers that much are maybe overrating how good Aldridge is going to be on the Spurs, I think in the same way they're underrating how good Robin Lopez is. He's incredibly good.
I think he's going to be great for, obviously, I think he's going to be great for Carmelo. He'll be great for Porzingis, you know, when Porzingis is playing out there. Like, Robin Lopez just, like, frees up rebounds for people.
Yeah, he's an incredible boxer. Aldridge's rebounds went from, like, 8 a game to 10 a game in the last 2 years. Like,
Aldridge, only 2 years that he's had double digits.
Yeah. And it was because, like, it was 100% because of Lopez.
Yeah, and he can owe some of his max status to Lopez for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He can owe, like, those... This gets the arbitrary nature of the way people think about elitism, or, you know, look, is LaMarcus Aldridge elite? Is so tenable and shaded by factors outside of a player's control. Like Aldridge was a 22-8 player for his entire career. And And Lopez came in and was good at boxing out, was good at controlling team rebounding. And Aldridge got two boards a game off of that, and that changed. And that, along with the team making the playoffs, like, totally shifted the perspective on Aldridge around the league and around people who cover the league. But it was not something that had anything to do with what he was doing, necessarily. He had the same true talent level as a rebounder, but Lopez improved his rebounding.
What do you think about them not offering Matthews a contract?
Probably a good idea. A bummer. Here's the thing. I thought Matthews coming off an Achilles would probably get 2 years with a player option in the second year. But it turned out the market was even kookier than I knew it was going to be. And so he got a big offer. And so I think it's reasonable considering their place in development, like how good the team is going to be, to not give him an offer. It is kind of a bummer, though. Did they give Lopez an offer? Do you know?
I don't know. But it seems to me that most likely not.
Wow.
Because, I mean, they went out of their way to trade for a center, right? And Myers, while his shooting helps him play four, he's too slow to play against stretch fours. So, like, he's not going to be playing four against Draymond, you know?
Yeah.
Or even Trevor Booker. Like, Trevor Booker was beating Myers off the dribble. And so, to me, those, and now they've brought in Ed Davis, who's going to get more center minutes. And so I just think they had way too many centers. I mean, if they had brought Lopez back, it just wouldn't have made any sense. And now they also have Kamen on the team, which, I mean, it's going to be real interesting to
see. That's weird. Yeah. That's weird. I forgot about that. That is very strange.
Remember what happened the last time Kamen was on a tanking team?
It got fun.
I think it's going to get real weird if he's still around here. Like, he's probably going to be unhappy. He's going to have some legendary quotes this year if he's still on the team while they're losing. Like, they're probably going to.
Yeah. He's going to take some bench naps. God, that was the best game I've seen in my entire life. The Lakers-Cavs game where every Laker was fouling out and they still won the game. That was incredible. That was... Mwah. Like, if you like trash basketball, there is no better trash basketball than that particular game.
Yeah. Wasn't it, like, Dion Waiters taking, like, a bunch of shots against...
Yeah, it was just
defeated Lakers team.
Yeah, it was just Lakers kept fouling out. I think somebody maybe even got a technical after they got a foul, which is pretty rare because the Lakers had so few players that, like, people were in danger of fouling out. I'm putting fouling out in quotations, and instead of getting kicked out of the game, getting a technical foul. Like, that was a phenomenal garbage game. What were we talking about?
Kamen. Well, we gotta look at the roster here. I mean, they've got four big men that, while Stotts likes veterans, I feel like he should have a mandate to play the young guys.
Yeah. Homie doesn't have a choice at this point.
Stotts has a
veteran problem.
Yeah. He has recently. He's definitely always gone. I mean, lest we forget Sasha Pavlovich.
Or even Mo Williams. Mo Williams played way too many minutes, considering that he was Mo Williams.
Though Mo Williams in the playoffs was far more valuable than Steve Blake was in the playoffs.
Yes, Steve Blake. Steve Blake.
Yeah.
God, I'm so glad Steve Blake's gone.
Well, Mo Williams gambled all the time and and was always out of position on defense, he hit some shots. You know, he would take some shots and hit some shots that the Blazers, like, they didn't have any of that, you know, in the playoffs this year from that backup point guard spot. Literally, I don't think Blake made a basket.
Oh, no, he did eventually.
Oh, yeah, he did. Okay, yeah.
But it was a through line throughout the series that he was not scoring at all.
Or assisting even. I don't, yeah, like, I mean, it was, poor Steve Blake, by the way, another Blazer staple.
I will not cry for Steve Blake.
Okay, fair enough.
So, somebody else can shed tears for Steve Blake. Power watching his pool.
Yeah.
I reject the religion of Steve Blake.
Blake has been traded 3 times now by the Blazers.
Good. Good. Let's forget that he played 3 times for the Blazers. Let's embrace that.
So I think the Blazers have 12 guys on their roster currently.
Smacking a shoe against a table right now. And Khrushchev-ing.
I'm just trying to imagine, like, someone in the Blazers' offices smashing their desk with a shoe.
I was in the practice facility. Covering something. And somebody has brass knuckles on their window.
Classic. Yeah. I don't know who that would be, but...
I'm not, yeah.
Seems like a Jay Triano thing to have.
To have brass knuckles? Jay's a Canadian. I'm a little shocked.
Quite the competitor Jay Triano is.
Okay, all right.
So maybe...
But like a brass knuckles type competitor?
Maybe. I'm just guessing. You know, yep. Like of all the coaches on the Blazers coaching staff, I would bet Triano, maybe Kim Hughes. Except Kim Hughes isn't on the staff anymore.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Yeah. That's another thing.
Kim Hughes, not fired not, for not almost not certainly telling the truth.
Pretty certain, yeah. Pretty certainly telling the truth.
For telling the truth, everybody except the front office was openly acknowledging.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, that was... I mean, talk about, like... Also, this is, like, the weirdest... I mean, I know LeBron obviously takes the cake in terms of drama and intrigue and, you know, even the Dwight free agent stuff. But, like, this LaMarcus Portland free agent stuff, like, it couldn't have been any weirder. Like, the video coming out from Kim Hughes, you know, just everything.
I don't know... I don't know if weird was a... It was weird in a different way because it was 100% weird on the organization side, I thought. Like, I didn't think Aldridge was being particularly weird about it. Like, he took a while to make a decision, but I, you know, that's reasonable. I'm not going to, you know, it's a huge life decision. You don't need to, you know.
Right.
I can understand hemming and hawing over it. But the front office was... acting like when it was immediately completely apparent that Aldridge was not going to re-sign, the front office still strung along a narrative that he could be a Blazer again. And I thought that was so weird. I thought that was weird.
It was weird because, like, it's like anybody who, like, really closely follow, like, people who closely follow the NBA. Even just on, you know, like, just like us, you know, like, you see what they're doing with the roster.
Yeah, that too, yeah.
And then you're here, it was like, is the phrase for it cognitive dissonance? Is that accurate, Corbin?
Yeah.
Because, like, you're seeing one thing, and then you keep on hearing another, and... the fact that people kept on hearing that other thing gave Blazer fans, like, so much ammunition that they, you know, they still hoped LaMarcus would come back. Like, it was still, I mean, really, despite, you know, reports, you know, to the contrary, multiple, there was still a lot of hope because of what that narrative that was being strung along.
Yeah. And then they even, look, I'll say it, they fake deployed Lillard.
To I compared go get, it to the Bay of Pigs.
Yes. Yeah, well, you know, at least there was some commitment behind the Bay of Pigs. Lillard didn't even seem to get to Los Angeles.
He was reportedly there for a Special Olympics event.
Oh. God damn. Lillard can't do anything without looking good, that guy.
Yeah,
that guy!
It's like the Bay of Pigs if JFK came out with a higher approval rating.
Yeah. JFK really did the Bay of Pigs up good.
Yeah, no, I mean, Lillard, yeah, okay, yeah, continue about the Lillard trip to, I mean.
Look, I'm just saying that I think that the Blazers planned all of this from the beginning as a sort of false flag operation. I'll say it. Look, I went to the Evergreen State College. I can say false flag operation. They train you to do that there, everybody. Your tax dollars at work.
You write for Vice.
I write for Vice magazine. I'm a loopy, crazy lefty. I'm not going to deny that. So I say things like false flag operation and kind of mean them sometimes. I'm just saying the Blazers ran a false flag operation by which, I'm not saying they ran it well. It was like a botched false flag operation. It wasn't a particularly efficient or smooth one. They just ran a long operation so that they could deploy Lillard to go get LaMarcus back, and so that Lillard could look noble in defeat.
Coming back as the hero. Because this is also a scenario where, let's, again, pretend that this was all true, right? And that Lillard was going to go there, even if Lillard had, by some miracle, overthrown Fidel Castro in this metaphor of the Bay of Pigs.
Yeah.
Even if by
yes,
some
Fidel miracle, Castro is Lamarcus's desire to leave in this situation. Yes, it's a complicated metaphor.
Yeah, it is complicated. Maybe we should just ditch it. Anyway, Damian going there, even if Lamarcus, by some miracle, had just a light bulb went on, he says, I'm going to come back. Who's the hero in that scenario in Portland?
Well, Lillard.
So, I don't see that's another, you know, so it's probably no surprise why the, you know, face-to-face meeting where LaMarcus, they apparently texted, according to Sam Amick of USA Today. They didn't even speak over the phone.
Wow. Whoa. Can I just say that the engagement level on that gets smaller and smaller every time the story gets retold.
Yeah. Like, first it was flying down for a face-to-face meeting. Then it was they had a conversation. And then it was they texted.
Pretty soon it's going to be they had an exchange in Rihanna's Instagram comments. It's just going to get smaller and smaller.
Yeah. They poked each other on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because LaMarcus still uses Facebook.
They MySpaced about it.
Yes. They Damian hit him up on Snapchat.
Yeah. And actually it expired. Dude, Snapchats expire. You're a little younger than me.
They expire after you watch them.
Okay.
But LaMarcus may have just like clicked on it so it expired automatically. Maybe he didn't even hear about it. Maybe he just ignored Dame's Snapchats.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where we are.
Do NBA players use Snapchat?
Rudy Gay's Snapchats have been like a focal point of free agency this year.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know about this.
He's been like Snapchatting with Rondo. Then he Snapchatted. Then like after they signed Rondo, he like took a selfie with him and Josh Smith and was like, this guy's going to be a king next. And like, and people have been reporting on it, you know? So yeah, NBA players do Snapchat.
I didn't know that. I feel like I'm too old to Snapchat. I think Rondo using it. I don't know, man.
All the brands use it now.
I do. Yeah, it's young people like using it. I don't know if you've ever used it, Eric. You probably have, right?
Snapchat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Look, I'm just saying, it's incredibly arcane. The user interface makes absolutely no sense. Nothing is immediately accept. Like, I'll get Snapchats from people, and I'll be like, how did somebody make their Snapchat look like that? And I just will have... I'll just be in the dark about it forever. I don't understand how it works. I'm not that old, Eric. I am 27 years old. I shouldn't be like... There shouldn't be a piece of software that I can't immediately use to perfection.
Especially a phone app.
Exactly! I've been using computers all my life, Eric. I'm not my father. Actually, my dad's pretty good. I'm not my mother, who, like, can't work her way around how to put an e-book on her Nook. I'm a vibrant young person. Snapchat is too confusing. I'm just waving a cane now. Anyway, basketball?
Yeah, can we run down this summer league roster? Because...
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of it does sound like... you know, the Portland 76ers. Like, look at all these guys. They're like, a bunch of these guys are all Sixers cast-offs. Daniel Orton, Malcolm Thomas, Arnett Moultrie, Tim Frazier. I mean...
Arnett Moultrie, that's...
That's just like Sixer land. Maybe it's a sign.
Is Arnett Moultrie a Canadian? I'm looking. Continue talking.
Vonleh.
Was Vonleh once a Sixer? No, he was a Bobcat.
Well, I'm just saying Vonleh's on the team.
Arnett Moultrie played in China last year. No, he's from Queens.
I feel like of the young guys, obviously, that they've brought in, that Vonleh is like probably their biggest hope to like turn into a starter, like a really good, you know, a good player. Or, like, has, like, the most star potential out of all the guys they brought in, is what I mean to say.
Well, Meyer's my play. That's a star.
Yeah. I mean, it would be... I don't think it'll hurt for Meyer to play in Summer League, but...
He probably won't play much.
Yeah, I don't see how... I feel like right now is a much more important time in Vonleh's development than necessarily Meyer's. Not to say that Meyer will take away minutes, because they don't... They don't have many centers. Like, Meyers is the only... They have Daniel Orton, and then they have Meyers, and that's it.
I think Vonleh is more of a power forward.
Right. So, they're basically also going centers for a lot of the games.
Also, wait, are we talking about the Summer League roster right now? Pardon me. Continue.
Well, I just think they're going to have to go without a center for a couple of games, because if Meyers really isn't playing... You really only have Daniel Orton. The guy I'm most excited about on the Blazers Summer League team is Luis Montero.
Luis Montero? Tell me.
He played most recently at Westchester Community College in New York, which didn't have a season this past year.
What?
Yeah, dude. The guy is like just a straight baller. Like, he didn't even play basketball last year. He was rumored to go... Like, there's internet videos and stuff on him about like going to... South Florida, but then like I don't know who his agent is, like just got him, you know, all these workouts, and so he was working out for every team, and he was at one of the Blazers' first workouts, and I remember like going in there and like seemed like a lot of the Blazers guys were watching him very attentively, just because he's like 6'7", but he's a guard,
so
he's just like a really fascinating skill set.
Is he like a New York street baller?
He's a Dominican street baller. Well, a Dominican baller who moved to... I believe the story is he moved to Boston, and then he played high school basketball in Boston, and then he played community college ball at Westchester Community College for 1 year.
Were the grades just too bad to go to a college? Or
The school got embroiled in like an academic scandal. And that's why they had to cancel their program last year, because like there was like some transcript problem with their athletes. So I don't.
The community college had to cancel their athletic program because of academic fraud.
Yes.
That is the craziest thing I've ever heard, Eric.
Well, this guy was on their team 2 years ago, and then I think he was going to transfer to South Florida, is what my understanding through internet research was, and, you know, through people who I've talked to that follow this level of basketball a lot closer than I do. And, he just didn't play last year, but he was supposed to go to South Florida, and I think this is just me putting the pieces together, that the academic scandal probably he may have probably been involved, and so probably the transfer fell through after it turned out that the transcripts from this school were all bogus.
So he's just like this unmoored free agent dude who's just like, I can't get any opportunities in academic basketball. I might as well try to become a professional.
I think so. And he's 22.
Not young.
No, he's 22.
So he's doing all these years. Huh.
So, I'm just intrigued with him because he has a fascinating story. And he can hoop. It'll be interesting to see. I bet there's probably, they can't add Keith Bogans, can they? I mean, do you think that's a guy that they add?
I hope not.
Like, the Celtics sent him home last year. Like, what?
I mean, look, you're an NBA talent, or you've been an NBA talent at some point. You know, you keep reoccurring in summer league type events for a very long time. Bobby Brown has been to like 4 summer leagues, you know?
Right. Yeah. And every year there's always a rumor that Bobby Brown has drawn interest from NBA teams, and every year he goes unsigned.
And goes to China and crushes.
Yeah.
And does unbelievably well. God bless the Bobby Browns of this world.
No, seriously.
God bless the Fringe.
Absolutely. I love Summer League. I'm excited. Not because the...
Did you watch Okafor yesterday?
I did. I did watch a little Okafor yesterday. I watched a little Okafor. I watched a little Stanley Johnson and Justice Winslow yesterday. How much Summer League have you watched?
I just watched not all of the Okafor game last night. Apparently the Celtics-Jazz game was really good. I'm disappointed I missed that. I think I like watching Dante Exum, and I like a theoretical Dante Exum quite a bit. And so I might boot up League Pass when I'm done speaking to you today and catch up on that. But I thought Okafor looked – he was posting up a lot. And he scored a lot of points, but he also looked a little mushed on some of his post-ups, like he wasn't able to get good space or good shots off. I don't know much about college ball, so I don't know if I can... I don't know. I think it's a theoretical... Like, I don't know what Okafor is specifically, concretely, but I think as a theoretical construct, he's not going to be as good as people think he is. You know what does that make sense?
Right. I think a lot of people... Like, I think the best comparisons I've heard to him are Brook Lopez or, a better Al Jefferson. But he's, like, still so young in his development. Like, I don't think he has a mid-range game yet like those guys do. So he's basically those guys right now without the jumper. But he's, like, a really good passer is what people say. And he can dribble a little bit. But, like, he can't really shoot. And his offensive game is... all post-ups.
And he can't defend. And, like, there hasn't been an inkling of an idea that he can defend.
No.
And I just think, like, you describe a dude who posts up, has a lot of offensive skills, and doesn't defend. Like when you line that up with NBA players, that sounds to me, and I feel like I'm talking about this sort of in a theoretical way. Once again, I don't know how good Okafor is or isn't going to be, but like that sounds like Brook Lopez. It sounds like Jefferson. That's frankly, it sounds a little like Greg Monroe, who I've already slandered in this broadcast today.
This is not a safe zone for Greg Monroe.
For Greg Monroe?
No.
No. No, it's going to hurt his feelings if he listens to Greg. if you listen to this, I'm sure you're a perfectly good guy. You know, maybe NBA basketball isn't your thing. I say right after he signed a contract to make all the money doing that. Anyway, so, I don't know.
Pat Connaughton? Anyone? No one excited for Pat Connaughton?
Yo, here he can jump high.
Yeah.
Real high.
Today's his going to be his debut in front of the local media.
Are you like what's his how many questions are going to be about baseball?
Oh. I would say at least two questions about baseball.
I hope he plays baseball. God, wouldn't it be cool if he did both? I know he can't. I know. I understand. I'm not dumb.
Damn the capitalistic system that makes all sports year-round, I tell you.
Yeah, it disgusts me. What?
Now we've lost the two-sport athlete.
Yeah.
So much for freedom.
Danny Ainge, Bo Jackson.
Those are the only two I can think of. Deion Sanders.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Deion Sanders. Wait, what did Deion Sanders play? Deion Sanders played baseball? Yeah. Ball player?
Yeah, he played for the Cincinnati Reds.
Hey, Eric, I have to go.
Okay. All right. Well, it was good talking to you. Guys, everyone, go read Corbin's stuff on Vice and the Willamette Week.
Read Eric's stuff over at the Columbian. I love reading Eric's writing. Writing about the Timbers now, that's great.
Yeah, occasionally filling in for our Timbers reporter, Paul Danzer. But, all right, Corbin, we'll keep reading your stuff, and I'm sure we'll talk again. Happy Summer League season, and I hope you have a good Summer League.
Hey, Eric, I hope you also have a good summer.
All right, man.
All right, bye. Okay, bye.